Hi, this is Mark Borbieski, and you're listening to the Sens Call-Ups.
Studio 65 on the Sens Underground Network. Welcome to the Sens Call-Ups for Wednesday, January 16th, 2013. I'm Cardinal, and I'm here with Canuck and Pan. No matter how angry or bitter or frustrated you were with the lockout, or even how jaded you are about ever spending money on the NHL ever again, there's not really any denying that the news from the Senators training camp and from around the league has got the hockey world buzzing. And at least around me, the excitement for the start of the season is building. We probably got more questions than answers, but that hasn't stopped us so far. So we're here to talk some hockey, and more specifically, talk about the Sens. The forums are still open, and they're getting busier at sensunderground.com, because it's been good to see the return of some familiar faces that were missing over the summer and during the lockout. You can also drop us a line at podcast@senscallups.com, and you can follow and interact with us on Twitter. Guys, now that game one is just around the corner, how are you feeling about the NHL now?
I told you they'd come back.
I never doubted they would be coming back.
Yeah.
I had
my
doubts.
Different being in Canada and all that, but no, it's what happened to all of the talks in regards to boycotting it and not caring. I was actually talking to someone at work today, and he's like, told his wife, he's like, you know what? After they announced this, I've been watching every single special, and every night there's another show that I'm watching, or it's like top 50 players or your draft stuff, and had some goalie things on TSN. So, yeah, people were bitter and all that, but it's quickly forgotten.
Oh, for sure.
It's true. I remember after the lockout in 04. When that finished, I think I dove into hockey the most when the season returned that following year. And it kind of feels like that now. I know even as, you know, as recent as our last episode, when we kind of went around the horn and asked, how do you feel? Are you going to go to the games and that sort of thing? It's the beginning of a new season. It's just too exciting. And it just, you know, We're doing a podcast here. We are pretty big hockey fans, and it just sucks you in. And you know, the things that we've gotten to and been able to read and see, and you know, earlier tonight, I'm sure we're going to chat about where we went to Scotiabank Place and had some autographs and meet
Tugger!
And greet. Yeah,
Tugger.
it's sucking you in. There's nothing that there's very little that can top that kind of energy at the beginning of a season until you get to like playoff time, right?
Oh, absolutely. The marketing machine, I think they must have learned. I mean, they know how to market the beginning of a regular season, but I think they also learned from the last lockout and how they had to work really, really hard for certain segments other than the complete fanatic to get them back. Because as from the moment that the MOU was, you know, the framework was agreed on, it's been a full court press of, you know, from the league, from the sports channels, from the teams themselves. It's just been, you know, flooding every single bit of media that you would ever pay attention to. Hockey, 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 just more and more and more. They're doing a great job of building buzz, for sure.
Hear any of these stories? I believe I read one on, I think it was on Facebook, on the RSU page, where somebody bumped into Eugene Melnyk at the airport, went up and, you know, said hi, you know, a huge fan of the team, blah, blah, blah. And the way he wrote it, he said he pulled out a box of season tickets and gave it to him.
Wow.
Cool. And everybody's replying, what? Wow. And apparently there's little things like that going on when people bump into players and individuals with the team. So they
is
they
he
know.
Seriously walking around with thousands of dollars worth of tickets on him?
Well, I'm guessing he's probably back in Barbados now, but yeah, I guess he was.
For me, also with Melnick, it seems that he was more like, just let's get this done.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like he was one of the guys, like the boss and owner, just stirring the pot. And at least what it seemed to me is he just wanted to get things done and get back on the ice as quickly as possible.
Well, like we said, the only comment he made was, we should be playing now. And he got in trouble for that.
Yeah, he said he didn't get fined, though. I remember reading an interview that he said he didn't get fined for it. But he's much more of a hockey fan that owns a team than, you know, the guy who runs it as a business.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is totally it's a hobby for some of these guys.
Exactly.
Hey, just thinking about that, the ream of tickets that Eugene Melnick handed out, maybe the first half of the season of all the canceled games. Here you go, son. I don't need these.
I think we can all agree that there's a hell of a lot of buzz around this, and it's really just drop the puck. Just get this going. We can't wait. I know I can't wait. I'm looking forward to, you know, already planning my weekend around what am I going to make sure I have Saturday afternoon free. I think most Sens fans are doing that. So, okay, that doesn't matter if the game's at 3 o'clock. I'm going to be watching it for sure because it's the first game of, it's the opening of the season. It's just like it's October, except it's a few months late. So,
there you go. Game on!
Exactly. Just get it going.
I think they're changing that song this year too, right? They're not going to play the
really?
Seven Nation Army?
Whoa.
I read some back and forth on that.
Oh, okay.
I actually really enjoyed that.
I think people didn't like the mix of it. I think it was actually Alex, the Senators DJ, who said they're going to look for something new this year.
Oh, that's too bad. Because with the whole O thing, I really enjoyed it. And I think it was in the first game last year. I don't remember if it was a home opener or just the first one that I went to. And there was a goal that was being challenged or for under further review, I guess it is. And the crowd just started to sing that song.
Nice.
Asking for the goal. And cool. That I thought was wicked. So that's... I'd like to see that continue.
Well, in the playoffs, they went back to woohoo, right? And that went over very well.
Yeah, I think that's more of a traditional song for us too.
Well, Alex,
I love that one in the playoffs, but I don't want it now.
Yeah, if he's looking for another song, I'd suggest Baltimora. It's good earworm. Get stuck.
Tarzan Boy?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's kind of slow. What would happen here?
I'll just cut in right here.
Do we have to stand up and do the weird dance too?
But you?
I don't know. There's a no in there, yeah.
Yeah. Just use that, just cut in right there. People would sing along. It's an earworm. They'd be singing it all the way home. They'd be singing it the next day at work. Anyway. Thanks to Alex for taking suggestions at the open practice on Sunday, is looking for songs. And I'm the kind of person who likes to put earworms in people's minds just to listen to them singing them later on when they get frustrated that they can't get it out of their head. So thanks for playing that one just before the team came back on the ice for the second part of their practice on Sunday.
Yeah, that bugged your friend a bit, didn't it? She had that in her head for like the next day or so.
Oh, yeah.
It is
mission,
catchy.
Mission accomplished right there. That's all I have to say.
Do you want to talk about the open practices?
Yeah, that's what I thought we'd start. Sure. I mean, I know a lot of teams are doing this, and I think it's a great way for, you know, it doesn't really cost them anything, but it gives people a chance to, there's no preseason games per se, so get a chance to come out and see them just walk through a practice. And for me, it wasn't just about seeing the players. It was also about I've never actually seen an NHL practice before. So from a how does it work and what do they do and mechanics level of it, I found it quite interesting to watch. Never mind going, okay, here are the familiar faces and here are the new faces and here's who's doing what to who. And I thought it was a lot of fun. And I mean, there were a fair number of people there on Sunday.
Yep. And considering that we had what, maybe a 12-hour notice for it.
Exactly.
And we pretty much, I think unofficially we knew that these things were going to happen. I really enjoyed it, and just being able to see the practice where someone like me who's never played organized hockey, you get to watch them do things. And right when I arrived, at least, just sat down, saw Mark Mathot doing some type of drill, got a little bit excited because I've been looking forward to see him, and immediately he dropped greening. And it didn't. He didn't even mean to make it a big hit, but it was. I like him. I really like him.
He's a big, solid lad. That one
immediately yeah, sure. paired up with Carlson too, so they're definitely trying that out.
Yep.
Well, yeah, he was. I was at the practice again on Tuesday. I dropped out to Scotiabank Place for a bit, and Mathot and Carlson were still together, and Phillips and Cody Ceci were still together as they had been for Sunday and Monday. They changed around the other two pairings a little bit. For the first couple of days, it was Borowiecki and Gonchar, and then Wierkosz and Benoit, which makes a lot of sense because Wierkosz and Benoit have been playing together all year in Bingo, so that made a lot of sense. But they started changing it around to put Wierkosz with Gonchar and Borowiecki with Benoit, so I guess they were playing a little bit of shuffle to see what goes on, because out of those eight, CeCe, I'm sure, is going back to Owen Sound, and they'll carry the other seven at least to start the season because Lundin is out for another couple of weeks yet with the broken finger that he had. I think he had surgery on it as well, but it was definitely broken. So
yeah, he'll that, to me, kind of tells me that the team kind of wants to put Lundin with Phillips.
I think so, too.
And I really liked watching Phillips with CeCe. I thought it was a great combination.
They played really well together, I thought. I mean, I know CeCe's young and he's raw and he's definitely not NHL ready, but for a kid who's 19 years old, he looked pretty good out there.
Yep.
I was going to say, he absolutely, he just dropped Chris Neal with a shot to the lower leg or ankle yesterday because he's got a booming, booming slap shot, and tried to apologize, and Chris Neal was like, nope, you don't apologize. It's fine. Don't worry about it. But, I mean, I've seen him score a goal with just winding up and ripping on it from outside the blue line in a 67s game a couple of weeks ago. Just there was nothing in the way. The goalie just missed because it was such a hard shot. Just boom, from outside the blue line in the net. If he can develop properly, he's going to be a nice asset in a couple of years, for sure.
Yep. And I really like him partnered up with Phillips because he's... I'm hoping at some point he'll end up being one of the coaches or an assistant coach, and getting that experience and partnering up with them. One of the plays that I noticed was the puck was going into the corner and CeCe ended up rushing the guy near the puck carrier, which is probably something that you do more within the junior hockey, but in the NHL level, you're just going to get beat. So seeing these little things being partnered up with them, you can get a lot of mentoring from Phillips.
Yeah.
I think that really worked out.
No, and they were pretty consistent with what they were doing. They were keeping the pairings together, which I think is a very smart thing, rather than juggling them around because the time is so short. And they were doing the same thing with the forward lines as well. Of the two practices I've seen and the other one that went on Monday, the line combinations haven't changed. They went with five lines, and Alfie was actually commenting on it on the team the other day. In an interview that he, you know, five lines is a good number, not inviting more guys to camp and making the drills more complicated. It made a lot of sense with the number that they had, that they could run with things. You were almost, you know, you had enough activity that you weren't sitting waiting, and you also weren't killing yourself because there weren't enough bodies around to run the drills. So it worked out very, very well. I mean, and the lines are a lot of what, they're very similar to what a lot of the expectations were, with a couple of exceptions. Silverberg was playing with McCulloch and Spezza. The RSU better get on that in the first game. I want to hear that coming out of the 300 section. The first time he's, either the first time he's on the ice or the first time he has an assist or a goal or anything like that, I want to hear the whole place shouting that. And it'll take a little time.
I think you will.
Yeah, I really hope that they make that they get the play going with that sound clip. It may take a little time. If the team's smart, they'll get that clip and put it up on the scoreboard, but we can but hope. But the second line, as expected, was La Tendresse with Turris and Alfie. And that line seemed to get some nice... I mean, Alfie and Turris have been already playing together, but they seem to be working pretty well together. There was a lot of pretty easy flow. The line that surprised me was Peter Regan between Chris Neal and Mike Hoffman. And that line's been together since the first day of practices, and it's stayed together too. The fourth line was Condra, Smith, and Greening, and the fifth line was Nason, O'Brien, and Daugavans. And at the practice on Tuesday, the Hoffman, Regan, Neal line was playing, and they were down in the far end. I was sitting at one end of the rink, and Mike Hoffman intercepted a pass and took off. And he was basically on, well, he was on a breakaway, and the person who was chasing him was Erik Karlsson. And Erik Karlsson couldn't catch him. He was actually getting away. And I was watching this coming down the ice at me going, I don't know who this is, because the glass, the way I was sitting, I couldn't really see his face, and I certainly couldn't see the number on his sleeve. But I was looking at it going, he's getting away. Like, he's not getting caught by Erik Karlsson. And Erik Karlsson's a pretty fast skater. And he's looked really, really good.
Do you think he's holding up?
Say again?
Do you think Karlsson was holding up or just...
No. He was trying. Wow. I don't think he was pulling back at all. He just couldn't catch him. And it wasn't like he had an entire like blue line to red line lead or anything. He just intercepted the pass and took off. And he seems to accelerate really quickly, but his top speed was phenomenal. And there have been a couple... I've been caught a few reports or interviews, comments in different parts of the media about him, and everybody seems to be very, very pleased, including Paul McLean with Hoffman's play so far. So I'm hoping he sticks. He's certainly, I think he's earned a chance, but I don't work for the team, so we'll see.
We were all there Sunday, and then you were again there Tuesday. What'd you think of the whole overall team speed? Now, I know it's, you know, they're practicing, but...
I thought they were pretty fast.
Yeah, I was surprised at how fast they were. Not that I was expecting them to be slow, but they really do seem to be quick, really quick. And I think that bodes well for them. I mean, I think part of it is there were quite a number of them that were playing over in Europe, so they are in really good game shape, especially some of the younger players. But nobody looked slow, I guess, is probably the most positive thing I would say, is nobody looked slow. Nobody looked like they were consistently getting beaten. Nobody looked winded. So I think it bodes pretty well as far as that side of things is, you know, that they actually will be a pretty quick team. And they're not small. They're not small at all. There's been some, I don't know, what do you guys, I've been hearing some things about, oh, there's not a lot of team toughness on this team. I went, well, I think there is team toughness. There may not be a lot of individual smash mouthness. You know, we don't have Karkner and we don't have Konopka anymore, but I don't think this team lacks grit as a whole. I don't think that's going to be a real problem unless someone gets, you know, really stupid, in which case we just get them to take the penalty and score on the power play.
Don't forget, this is Paul McLean's team too. He came from Detroit, and they didn't really have any of the Matt Karkner, Zenon Konopka type guys. So this may just be the brand of hockey that he's used to. And they won with it. They had, what was his name, Darren McCurdy?
Yeah.
But he was the only one. And he ended up being a monster in the playoffs.
Yeah, they really put him in a perfect role for him to succeed, and he did. I remember that playoff.
Yeah.
Now that you mention it. Yeah, exactly. And build the same thing here? Okay.
Possibly. Like, you can get beaten up. It's a quick phone call. I don't know if Kramer's gotten called up to bingo, but even Elmira, you can bring him up. Play him the 5 minutes and deal with it, or see how things are going, or make a quick call to Philly, see how much Gatorade you got to send down to them to get Jody Shelley, because it's not going to be very expensive to pick up one of these guys.
Oh yeah, there you can always find a tough guy as you know, Brian. Why am I blanking on his name? Our GM, Murray.
Brian Murray, yeah.
You know, he would call them, well, because somebody asked him that in an interview earlier this week, and he said, well, I don't know if we're looking for a tough guy. If we need to look for one, then we'll address that. But I don't think that's going to be a problem. We've got a lot of team toughness. Like, people are going to stand up for each other. They're not going to go out and look to goon it up, because that's not necessary, but I don't think it's going to be a problem. And you know what? I have a lot of faith in Brian Murray and knowing a hell of a lot more about what he's doing than I know. So, again, he's been pretty right in the past couple of years.
Well,
so,
do you really think we lost a team identity because Karkner and Zenop, or, you know, Z-Cop left? I mean, no.
No.
So we're going to have that identity, and it'll be interesting to see how that changes if it does, you know, this season. So I'm not worried that we're going to be lacking some identity and sort of, like you say, team toughness.
Yeah, exactly.
Like Kartner was hurt for a lot of last year too.
Exactly.
And he was the revolving door with Brian Lee.
Exactly.
And Z-Cop was benched a lot too. So are we missing it? No. From one of our summer shows, the other thing that I kind of broke down for us was the number of penalty minutes that these guys were taking. And in my opinion, a lot of the ones that Konopka took during the regular season were reputation calls.
Yeah.
Like the hitting from the side one, and that was 5 in a game.
Yeah. Well, Foligno got into that too eventually.
Yeah, especially with hitting the goalies or
being
close to the goalies, looking at the goalie. That cost him 2 minutes all the time. So a lot of those big penalty minute guys are gone now. Without the reputation, that might be better. We're looking even 2 or 4 minutes a game. That's a big differential.
Absolutely. It's a couple of power plays for sure. And I mean, there is toughness if we need it. We can always bring it up. But if it's just in the lineup, there are guys who will be rugged without being, you know, rugged players who can play. That's the perfect mix because you make it difficult to play.
Zach Smith.
Neil,
yep.
If Borowiecki stays, he's certainly... He certainly finishes, even in practice, he finishes his checks. And he did a couple of them yesterday that were just, you know, your typical board rattler. But in a building that's almost empty, you really hear it. And I was like, okay, I hope you guys are still friends at the end of this. Because that was a hell of a hit. But it's just the way he plays. And he finishes his checks all the time. And I mean, even if there's not a ton of grit, there's a fair amount of size. So, and not... soft size, just not necessarily hyper-aggressive size. So I think it'll work out pretty well. I certainly think that the forwards and defense, the defense has been a big question, you know, with, you know, how are the pairings going to work out? And Lundin's out, so who's going to be starting the season? Who's playing with who? I think that'll work itself out. I'm not worried about it. I'm getting really sick of TSN going, oh, Ottawa's really thin on defense. No, Ottawa has lots of options on defense. I wouldn't say we're thin. We just have a lot of options.
The Maple Leafs have a worse problem on defense than we do. There's a lot of teams out there that have issues with their defense. And do we have some concerns and some unknowns? Absolutely. But, you know, there's only a couple of teams out there that are locked in and you know, have no concerns at all with their defense. I mean, give it a break.
Yeah. And if they do, then their concerns are elsewhere.
Exactly.
So, find me a team that has no concerns at all, and I'll that's a team that's delusional.
Yeah, like missing Jared Cowan this year is going to be a big loss.
Yes.
And the other thing people are, I think, missing out is that Lundin's out for a couple weeks.
Exactly.
We're writing him off completely.
Yeah, exactly. I noticed that too.
And in the meantime, we have the chance to try out a bunch of people to see where they fit. So it's not as if we're going, uh-oh, we have nothing in Binghamton. We don't even have, you know, 6 to start the year. No, we just... need to sort things out. And with no preseason, we'll be sorting that out in the first few games of the season, just like every other team. It's not like this is going to be only Ottawa that's going through this. So I don't know. I'm tired of it. I'm as tired of that as I am about the Twitterverse and certain members of the media trying to create a goalie controversy in Ottawa.
Yes.
Because
we don't
know who we're going to start. Oh, shut up.
Even this morning, and I know who you're getting at, you're getting at Don Brennan's one of the leaders. He was on the Three Guys on the Radio this morning,
yeah. And
sure enough, jumping right on that again and saying, you know, we're going to have a controversy. He thinks that, I can't argue with this stat in the sense that he feels that right now, Robin Lehner is probably... arguably the best goalie in North America, maybe even the world right now. If you look at his numbers and the kind of play he's had to do in Binghamton. Okay. Yeah. But, you know, and he's challenging
the
best
goalie
in the AHL.
In the AHL or in the world?
No, I'd say in the AHL. It's in the AHL playing with a sprinkling of NHL talent, but he's still playing in the AHL.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that to be dismissive, not at all, but we know that...
Yeah, he's no Lundqvist, he's no Jonathan Quick.
Yeah.
Not yet, at least.
Exactly. And we know that Anderson came back from injury, like when he cut his hand open, and he came back, and he's just on his game. So the fact that he hasn't played in a few extra months, it doesn't worry me, at least right now. You know, if he loses five or six in a row, then it will. But for now, it doesn't worry me. So why? It's almost like they're looking to create a story because we've always had this goalie question. Why, we can't go a season without having a goalie question.
Well, I think the other thing is that the two guys from Bingo, and we saw them on Sunday, they were unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing went through. But they've been playing for the full year, for the full season down in Binghamton.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people are saying, it's like, well, they're hot and Anderson hasn't played. Has Lundqvist played? Has Brodeur played?
Has Quick
played? Because Bernier played in the Spangler Cup.
Yeah, exactly. Most NHL goalies haven't played. So it's okay.
It's almost like we're assuming he's going to fail. So let's just get the momentum going right now. I don't know. Exactly.
It's just give it a rest, guys. You know, we'll cross that bridge if and when we get to it. But why are you trying to stir the pot now? I honestly don't understand it. It's almost as if they haven't got anything else to write about, so they want to make something up.
Yeah, wait a week at least until you see what happens the first couple of games, and then maybe it is a serious talking point.
Yeah, are you trying to be the Inquirer or, you know, Perez Hilton or something? Like, you just want to make something up to get people talking about you?
Well, that's just the Sun. How often have we seen that? Because we also have Gary Ock saying that right after Cowan gets hurt, it's time to trade Gonchar back to Pittsburgh. In the one season that they didn't want to sign him for.
Hey, this is a contract year for Gonchar. This is going to be solid.
And he's also been playing in the KHL and playing very well. So just give it a rest. I'm so sick of media trying to find an angle that's like, it's almost like wedge politics. I don't want to talk politics, but, you know, trying to find an angle to make people angry and talking about what you've decided you want them to talk about, because then you'll be included in the conversation rather than going, hey, hockey's back and we've got all these, you know, all these great stories to talk about. No.
It's kind of like what Alan Walsh does, except we can't really hear about it anymore.
Well, it's because he blocks anybody who says anything remotely negative about him. But anyway, moving on.
Got the t-shirt.
Exactly. Just ridiculous. But I have to admit, it was really bizarre to me. I mean, I've seen Robin Leonard play on the ice at Scotiabank Place before, and seeing him in a goal, he is a very, very big man. He's 6'4", and you know, over 200. He's a big guy, but he actually looks small standing next to Ben Bishop. And because he is just an absolute giant. It was wild to see him bent over at the waist, sort of leaning down on his pads, and his butt is at the crossbar. Like he fills the net with his lower half. So if he goes down in a butterfly, he still fills the net. He's huge. But they both looked positioned, like they were both playing really well during the drills on both days that I was at the practice. So it's nice. If we have a goalie controversy, it's because we have three that are good. Rather than who are we going to put in who can stop the puck because the other one isn't doing it. And if that's the worst question we have to deal with, is they're all good, who do we go with today? That's a pretty happy place, not a negative place. So
I think it's just one we're not used to.
Maybe that's it. We don't know how to handle good news. Maybe that's it. I don't know.
They should be talking more about Robin Leonard's facial hair. Have you seen it?
Didn't really pay much attention to it, to be honest.
Carlson needs a good shave, too.
Leonard has some sort of weird, I don't even know what you call it. It's not a Fu Manchu because it's no mustache component, but it's kind of like everything else. And then mixed with the soul patch with ears. I don't know what it is, but it's interesting.
Hey, if it works for him, that's okay. Yeah. That's okay. The news today is that Stefan Nason has been sent back. So he's going back to Plymouth in the OHL.
Yeah, I don't think that's a surprise, though.
I don't think it's a surprise to anybody, least of all him. Murray said that he wanted both Nason and CeCe to be at camp for development reasons and experience reasons and so on. And I'm quite sure that Cody CeCe is going back to Owen Sound. He got traded there from Ottawa. And just the experience of being here, I think, will do him a world of good. And they also wanted to get a chance to, you know, get him to work on a few things or give him a few pointers and so on about what he needs to continue to develop on. So I think it was a good move on both counts to have them here, and going back isn't really a surprise. The question about defense, though, just before we leave the starting lineup, is are we going to miss Brian Lee or Philip Kuba? I don't think so. And I'm not saying that because they're bad players or that they played badly or anything else, but I think we have enough other options to fill those particular spots that I don't think it's going to be a problem.
I mean, maybe, well, just because of the fact that Jared Cowan's hurt, you know, we're scrambling to find someone of that kind of caliber to fill the hole, but the kind of role that a Brian Lee or a Philip Kuba bring is very different. I don't think we're looking for that kind of role, are we?
Well, the role that Brian Lee played, to me, was he's a serviceable guy. And, I mean, we replaced him with Matt Gilroy, who was supposed to be, who really wasn't, even though he just got signed by New York.
It's Sather, what do you expect?
Yeah. And, I mean, if Lundin comes in and fills that spot and plays that particular role, okay. And Kuba played really well as the other half of the Carlson-Kuba pairing. Yeah, he was very good in that role. You know, he didn't do anything that was particularly outstanding, but he played well in that role and gave Carlson the space to do what he did. He won a Norris Trophy for it. So that's cool.
Did you say Gilroy got signed by the New York Rangers?
Yep.
Yeah.
So I guess they liked his play so much for their team during the last playoffs that they signed him up.
Did he play in the playoffs?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess he did. Well, yeah, maybe they think he was playing so well for Ottawa, they want to have him on the ice for their side. good luck with all that, for sure. Nah, I think
you said that it's finding defense with the same caliber as a Lee or Kuba. Definitely Kuba, probably as an improvement. My thoughts really come into that. But I wouldn't necessarily say that it's a skill level, but more experience.
Kuba's been around a long time.
Is just Borowiecki's, but your Borowiecki, he corrected me today. he's been playing down there for quite a while. So when you're looking at getting the prospects, which we've really been doing, it's you gotta bring these guys up at some point.
Absolutely.
Like another concern, Cardinal, you mentioned this last episode, was Silverberg's a rookie. So is it really fair to push him into the top six? I definitely say so.
I think so. After watching him play, he's fitting in a lot better than... I know that he had a bit of a slow start down in Bingo, which concerned me a bit. But he's looked pretty good in the practices so far, and he certainly played... You know, when in that one game he played in the playoffs, he didn't look particularly out of place. So, okay, I'll give him a shot. That's what, you know, and if it doesn't work out, then he can go back to the minors. There's no shame in that. None at all. And the same with Borowiecki or Wierkosz or Benoit. I mean, Benoit's not a rookie, but Murray said the other, or was it Murray or was it McLean who said the other day, if we were to start today, I think it was yesterday, he said, if we were to start today, I want all three of these guys on this team. Yep. I want all three of them.
Like, okay. Well, he wants them on the team, but one of them's they're going to rotate one out.
Oh, for sure. For sure. But, you know, having them all there, not a bad thing. That's also pretty good praise for the development that's been going on with Luke Richardson down in Bingo. So, kudos to him as well. Cool. And, I mean, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how things start. We're starting this Saturday against the Jets on the road. And I'm sure there'll be a lot of people watching the game. They've opened. There was an announcement. I think it was today that Scotiabank Place will be open if anybody wants to watch the game on the big screen there. And I have to admit, watching the practice on the big screen was pretty astonishing. To be able to, there was one point where the camera was focused on the little whiteboard that was set up on the glass for Coach McLean drawing out a play. And
yeah, that was
cool. Crystal clear.
You could see the smudge marks from where he rubbed out the last play that he drew out.
Yeah.
Saying, ooh, that's HD big time.
Actually, now that we're talking about all these B-Sens guys, we actually have a guest today. So we'll bring him on now.
Cool. Let's do that.
All right. Well, let's catch a break here and let's phone him up.
All right, welcome back. And we've got Ben on the line. Ben's a resident from Binghamton. So thanks for joining us, Ben.
No, thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, so we've been connecting back and forth and trying to get you on because I know that you're a diehard B-Sens fan and you've been going to the game. So tell us a little bit about the B-Sens and in regards to what you guys have been through with the lockout this year.
Well, even looking back to the last lockout that the NHL had, over the past couple of seasons, Binghamton seems to be getting, it has seemed to have gotten the short end of the stick when it comes to the kind of players that we've been able to bring in and kind of bring together. But, whenever we get the opportunity for like a lockout or when playoffs come along and we're in and Ottawa's not, Binghamton has a knack to kind of really find some unique chemistry with its prospects and players that really not a lot of teams can find. We don't really know what it is, but usually what we see with like the lockout and stuff, especially this year, with everything when everything changes every year, especially when you're in a minor league, especially for a farm team, things change every year. So when you can see a team, players who are really highly touted by the NHL kind of come together and really find this great chemistry under a new coach in a small city in a very small arena, we just kind of see these amazing things happen. And for some reason, whenever it's like a lockout situation, Binghamton seems to do really well. And this year especially, we've seen players like Patrick Wierkosz, Mike Hoffman, Corey Cowick, Derek Grant, some just to name a few, really step up and put Binghamton on top. And with Luke Richardson as the new coach, really just fresh off the bench from playing with Ottawa and doing assistant coaching up there, they've really shown us that good things can happen to Binghamton after all, despite winning the cup, being out of playoffs a couple of years prior to that. So we're really seeing something special here.
Oh, I bet. Now, that's also got to be tough for you guys, and especially because I know that you've been following them quite intensely over the last 9 years or so.
Yes.
Having some of these guys like the Spetses and a little taste of a Carlson, Volchenkov, guys like that, just kind of you see how good they get and you know you're going to lose them.
Yes, and definitely in any farm team in any city can tell you that's really kind of difficult to watch, especially for leagues that even go under us. It becomes a ripple effect, but you get attached to players like Patrick Wierkosz, even Jason Spezza, Bobby Butler, Eric Condra, Colin Greening, the ones from like the Calder Cup season who they're doing so well, and you wish that maybe for 1 year you could spend a little time developing them to a top potential. But you never know what the Ottawa brass is going to say. Do they have to go up? Do they have to stay down? Or are they going to get traded? Would waivers put them at risk of being picked up? It always puts you on pins and needles as far as, you know, I'm a huge fan of this guy. Then my team is doing great. What's going to happen? And now that the lockout is ostensibly finished for this season, that begs the question for a lot of the guys who have been doing well this year, especially with the goaltending tandem of Ben Bishop and Robin Lehner. Lehner has had a couple rough seasons leading up to this year, but during the postseason, his attitude somehow really changed when I think he knew that he would have to work a lot harder if he wanted to get full-time in Ottawa, and it showed, him being one of the league leaders in goaltending right now, and Ben Bishop just being Ben Bishop. It also, we as fans in Binghamton wonder, you know, is our defense going to hold now? Is our goaltending going to hold? Because I can definitely say defense, especially this year, has been better than we've seen for a long, long time, probably ever, as far as the franchise goes. It's it's always something that we worry about is who's going to go where, when. And is that going to affect us at all, especially on good seasons like this when we have such a high winning percentage? We wonder, is that going to affect anything? Luckily, such has not been the case this current week, but it's still a constant worry for the long run, especially when it comes time for playoffs, because anything could happen.
Sure. And I think this year might be a little bit different for you, too, as It's not only is the B-Sense guys going to get moved up, but a lot of the other teams are going to bring their guys up too.
Right, which is a nice way of thinking about it too, because it's like, you know, oh my god, we're gonna start really kind of dwindling down now. But then we start thinking to ourselves, well, at least it's not only us.
Yeah,
we like Syracuse, who's going to be losing a lot of players to Tampa, who are our division rivals. You got teams like Abbotsford, who really are coming out of the woodwork with their goaltending, their scoring. And then even in the, like I said before, even in like the leagues like the ECHL. And even a couple of the junior leagues trying to bring in some new players to start developing them. It's not just us. It's the other leagues, too. So it still is not the greatest feeling, but at least you kind of get the idea. Well, it could at least it's not just us. So
Ben, yeah, and chances are you're going to get one goalie back that, you know, is going to be able to ride the team to success. Right. Now, for the prospects that are up in Ottawa right now, who do you think is you're not going to see anymore?
It's kind of tough to say. I think one of the like you said, I think one of the goalies we're definitely going to see back. Leonard, the more likely of the two, seeing as Bishop was just waived on one way for the duration of the lockout. Weirkosh has had a couple. He's gradually gotten better over the last couple seasons. I think we probably won't see him anymore. Borowiecki, he's just a really great defenseman, a fan favorite, if anything. I don't know if he's quite ready yet. Defensively, he's a great player. As kind of a stand-up guy, he's even better. I'd like to think that maybe Binghamton will see him down for a little while longer. Mike Hoffman is getting has had some breakout moments as well down here in the minors. I'd like to think he's going to be back for a little while too. Andre Benoit is another one who's currently our team captain. He's spent a lot of time in the AHL and has had a successful season just about every time. With few NHL games under his belt and with Binghamton at the current level of success that it is right now, it's kind of hard to argue that he won't be in the NHL, especially with a couple players still remaining overseas from Ottawa's roster. They're probably going to need to fill a little bit of space, even though the cap is going down. So it's possible we probably won't see Andre Benoit again, but that would be a position well earned for him. Let's see who else is up there.
Well, of those three that you just mentioned,
yes.
The general, I'm not sure if it was the general manager or the coach the other day, said that if the season started tomorrow, he wanted to keep all three. All three of those defensemen have certainly been playing very well, and certainly none of them are looking out of place. And I was actually at the practice on Tuesday, and Mike Hoffman intercepted a pass and just took off down the ice, and nobody could catch him. It was astonishing to watch. He's certainly turning heads as well.
Yes.
And I wouldn't be surprised if he stays. I mean, I know you'll get a goalie back, and you'll probably get at least one of those defensemen back eventually. We don't have anybody over... we don't have anybody left over in Europe, but we do have a Mike Lundin as a defenseman who's injured. He broke a finger playing over in Europe, so he's unavailable. So that's why the Ottawa Senators need to have at least two players in the lineup, plus possibly carrying a third just for injury reasons until Lundin's ready to play.
I see.
So you'll probably get at least one back. You may get two back eventually.
Ben, one of the forwards that is... fans up here have really high hopes for is Jacob Silverberg. What was your impression of him for the limited time you got to see him in Binghamton? Now, from our perspective, it sounded like he had a fairly slow start, but then started to pick it up as the games went on.
Yes, that's pretty much what the fans kind of got out of it too. But once he ended up going on a point streak around the end of November into December. And it really started taking fans by surprise because when he came to Binghamton, we had heard about how good he was and how highly that the Ottawa Senators touted the kid. And as we saw him gradually getting better and better and putting up these great numbers, he had about 24 points before the call up. If I'm not remembering my numbers correctly, he really took us by surprise, and we really saw a lot in him. We saw what the big deal about him was, And once fans learned about his fan chant from overseas back in his town's team from Sweden, Binghamton fans got really eager to find a moment where he could score again. Yes. Yes, that would be the one. Binghamton fans really were waiting to be able to bust that one out in the old barn, but
that's awesome.
He escaped us. We didn't really see a goal from him that gave us an opportunity to, but we were okay with it because we knew that he was still picking up assists and that he'd still be doing fine. Ottawa really wants him. We do know that much. The fan, like you said, the fans have high hopes for him, and I can honestly say, even after half a season, I do not think he'll be disappointed. If we don't see him here in Binghamton for the rest of the year, there's a good reason why, and that's all right with us. I mean, I'm sure we'd like to have a high scoring player like him on our team, but we seem to be making do. So, not be disappointed. Jakob Silverberg is a player you don't want to miss out on.
Did he seem like a perimeter player and just kind of putting up points that way, or did he seem to really kind of be a hard worker and really in creating his own chances?
I would say he was kind of a hard worker in creating his own chances. He seemed to be in the right place at the right time, but he was able to play two-way in a point where he could really be anywhere on the ice and still be contributing in a way that helped everybody set up their own chances. So he's a really versatile forward, and I'm sure that they'll get a lot out of him. Coach McLean said that he wants to have him on top line to start. I think that'll be good for him to kind of really learn how to grind it out at a higher level of hockey. So I think he'll do good.
There's one other prospect, and I don't think he's had too much time to play down there because of injury, which has been somewhat, suspiciously undisclosed. But and that's Mika Zibanejad. And I guess he just came back and probably only played a couple of games. Yes. What's kind of the feeling down there?
Well, him having as high a draft number as he does, there's a lot to be expected from a guy like Mika. What we've seen from him so far, he seems to know what he's doing, but with so few games under his belt, we really don't know what to expect. I'd like to think that he's going to get some time up in the NHL eventually, but until he starts putting up numbers, I'd like to think that Ottawa knows enough to kind of keep... I mean, I'm sure they do. That Ottawa knows enough to keep him down here to kind of work on it a little bit. He does have potential, though. I'm sure that right now he's playing about second, third line, just to kind of work his way back from the injury. What I can attest to a coach like Luke Richardson is that he's figuring out ways to get all four lines to do just about as equal amount of work. Our fourth line being probably the biggest talk of the city right now. Which would be Corey Kowak, Hugh Jessamine, and Jean-Gabriel Peugeot. Zibanejad, I can foresee something coming good out of him. I mean, there's a reason that Ottawa picked him, especially at such an early stage in the draft. He's a great character guy. He's a really nice guy. He's a really good player. He's fast. I think once he just starts kind of getting comfortable back out there again after coming back from the injury and start putting up some numbers, I think we'll definitely be seeing some good things out of him. I would give him another year in the minors before he's ready to go up to the NHL. But I think we'll see something good out of him.
And just now, so you're aware,
for the actually, feelings with Zibad also down there, did you guys agree with him being left off the World Juniors squad?
I don't think it was really a major concern of Binghamton's, particularly as like the city as a whole, but that did surprise me, especially a guy who's done so well in there before. Why he wasn't allowed to go, we really don't understand that.
Sure, perfect. Just I think just one last question here. Any sleepers do you think that are going to get called up during the season? Other guys that aren't in camp right now that may make the team.
Stefan DaCosta, I think, is one to keep your eye on, especially after this evening with two goals and I think an assist to top it off. Corey Kowak is finally, I think he's hitting his breakout stride. And from what I've seen, the Ottawa Senators really want to see him develop and get up to an NHL level. And I think by the end of the season, it's very likely that he will finally get there. Let's see who else we got. Well, Eric Greiba, I think, is another potential call-up opportunity, him being one of our veteran defensemen, really. I feel like at this point he's been with us long enough I can say that. Greiba seems to know what he has to do. It doesn't matter what shift he's playing on defense. He knows exactly where to be. He takes his shots when he needs them. He's got the team's highest plus minus rating, so he's always in the right place at the right time. I think he'll definitely get a call up chance as well. Derek Grant is finally coming out of the woodwork too, after a rough couple startup seasons, which would be the end of the Calder Cup run and the last season. He's really turning heads this season, that's for sure. Especially my dad and I, who are always going to the games, we're really wondering what has changed in him that has gotten him to the level that he's at. But Derek Grant, I think, is another possibility. But DaCosta, Grant, Greiba, those three I can definitely say might get a little bit of a quick view during the season.
Perfect. Awesome. All right. Well, thanks a lot, Ben. This is nice to have someone from down there and getting your views on things.
Yeah, my pleasure. I had a great time over there. You can feel free to call on me whenever you need again.
Yeah, we'll definitely need to get you back on once in a while just to see how things are going down there.
Yeah.
All right. Excellent. Thanks a lot, Ben.
Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Have a great night.
Almost like a dream come true for a hockey executive. I said this before. You're talking about the Vatican if you're a Catholic. You're talking about the center of the hockey universe. We require, as a team, proper levels of pugnacity, testosterone, truculence, and belligerence. The Toronto Maple Leafs are pleased to announce the acquisition of Phil Kessel from the Boston Bruins. To answer your question, does it push us closer to our goal of making the playoffs? Absolutely.
We failed as an organization. It's multi-level. We've all got blame to assume. I'll take my share of it. We all will. As far as these guys, there's no question in my mind that this group that we have now has not gotten the job done. It's time for change. I've tried to build the defense, and that's exactly what we're doing here today. We're adding an elite defenseman.
Was it tough to watch Tyler Seguin get selected second by Boston?
No. We said we're going to make that trade anyway. We got the player we wanted, and I hope Boston got the player they wanted.
I think it was weaselly and dishonest and slimy. I never thought I'd have to add to warn them to tell their parents not to discuss their medical conditions with writers, because I never thought a writer would be slimy enough to help me.
If my writer came to me and said, I have this story, I'm not going to sit on it.
I'm the editor, I'd break his nose.
If we don't have guys looking after each other, that the rats will take this game over. We're sticking to the blueprint here. In my mind, there is nothing that we could have done today that made us better now. I've never had this before. I've never had a team fall off a cliff like this before in my life. I've had dips, I've had slumps, I've had rough patches, but this is akin to an 18-wheeler going right off a cliff.
What's the Pittsburgh model?
Struggled for years and got drafted.
They got a lottery. They won a damn lottery. They got the best player in the game. Is that available to me? Should we do that? Should we ask the league to have a lottery this year? And maybe we pick first? Pittsburgh model. My ass. I want to make the playoffs every season. I was in the playoffs 7 straight years before I got here. This has been agonizing. I'm not interested in making the playoffs unless it's as part of a championship. That's the goal here. And it seems a mile away. I understand that. You can see people shaking their heads. That is the goal. Not to get in the 8th spot, get your ass kicked, and then stand up here and say, yeah, but we're in the playoffs. I'm trying to build a championship team here.
No episode could ever be complete without at least a little bit of mockery of the blue team. But quite frankly, I think this week, I don't know about you guys, but I think this week they did it all themselves. They didn't need any mockery. If anybody was ever doubting that that team was incompetent at a leadership level, I think they kind of proved it this week. I'm not saying that the firing of Brian Burke or the Brian Burke brand being let go was incompetent, but the way that it was done was, at least to me, unbelievably Bush League. Nobody knew what was going on. Nobody knew who, what his new job was going to be. Nobody knew who was replacing him or what everything was fitting together. It was absolutely pathetic. To me, I don't know what you guys felt. I mean, it was comical, but for a company that big, I thought it was absolutely pathetic.
I found it shocking. Go ahead, Kenna.
Yeah, I'm going to miss that guy. He was entertainment at its worst, I guess. And it's got like a train wreck. You just want to keep watching, and I'm sure you know the replacement will do an equally terrible job. But it doesn't make any sense. Why do you let him go then?
Well, there've been a ton of rumors about it, but you know I don't buy into the whole rumor mongering because somebody hates the ownership or somebody hates this or somebody hates that. Whatever. I just found that the way that it was organized and the way that it came across was, you know, just pathetic, considering how big that company is. I mean, I know they don't have a CEO, which in itself is kind of funny. That they can't, they've been looking for one for over 6 months and they can't find one. Okay, that says something. But during Berkey had his own press conference a couple of days later where he said, "Oh, I didn't see it coming," and it's like it really hit me like a truck and everything else. And if they don't like the Brian Burke brand, then well, I guess I'll have to find somebody else who does. Well, I don't know about you, but I've always found that Brian Burke making himself the brand that was the Toronto Maple Leafs just a little odd. Because if you look at most teams, the figurehead that you associate with the team isn't the general manager. It's a player. Whether it's Daniel Alfredson, whether it's Sidney Crosby, whether it's Alexander Ovechkin, Stamkos, you know, whoever. It's a player. Now, I know Toronto doesn't have a player of that caliber because, you know, Phil Kessel, talented guy, just not very interesting.
What about Dougie Gilmore, baby?
Yeah, Dougie Gilmore is the GM of the Kingston Frontenacs, isn't he? Doesn't have anything to do with the Maple Leafs these days.
Daryl Sittler.
Yeah, same Wendell thing. Clark. But I just found it very strange that he was the name that was associated with a hockey team and not a player. Just found it weird.
He's full of himself.
I think you're right in that way, but it's also him feeding his ego.
Oh, yeah.
The way that I'm seeing this, though, this wasn't a hockey move at all. The way that I'm gathering it is that they probably had an introductory meeting with whoever the executives are for the Rogers and Bell partnership to talk about the team, what went wrong, what they're planning to do to change it. And I think that Burke was his normal gruff, I don't need to explain myself, blah, bombastic. Blah, blah. Exactly. Just that type of mentality. And Rogers isn't only a telecommunications company, but they're also a media company.
Big time.
So with all the gaffes that you just heard and the sound bites that he produces, does Bell and Rogers, do they think that it's an embarrassment to the brand?
Yeah.
And I mean, that's what I think's happened.
Yeah. There's certainly been a lot of talk about BCE CEO George Cope being, you know, the hand behind all this and whatever. I think that somebody just got tired of him being the brand when he's not. It's supposed to be the player wearing the blue maple leaf, not the person who hires and fires them. But I think it's just pathetic. The way that it was handled was really amateur. And I mean, it was funny.
I think I laughed. I don't want to hear you anymore. And well, they got rid of him. I think it's totally a PR move. And even if the season would have been the full season with the 24/7 and the HBO stuff for the winter, I don't think that the ownership would have let him go on that big of a stage. Good and point. Talk about the stuff that he normally does.
He had an undefeated team in January, and they let him go.
Yeah, good point.
Yep.
Well, we'll see how it goes. I mean, there's still plenty of mockery to be done with with the Maple Leafs, and I'm certainly not going to cut back on it, but it was just, it was sit back and laugh, you know, watch the circus, because that's what it was. It was just unreal, absolutely unreal. But
yeah, the one thing with me and the Leafs, and I'm sure a lot of you guys out there are going to feel this way too, but Tucker's gone, not off payroll, but Tucker's gone. Domi's gone. Those are the types of players that as a Sens fan, I just hated. The players that they have now, I don't really care about.
I'm not fond of Phaneuf, but that's about the only one who's the target of my...
He's not really that outspoken. He hits hard, but I'm okay with it. When the Olympics roll by, I'm fine with him on my defense. So I don't really have any problems with Phaneuf. Now that Burke's gone, I don't hate Dave Nonis. He's a very quiet guy. He just sticks to business, which is why I think that he's still around.
Colton Orr?
If he makes the team, I'm going to lose my mind. Jay Rosehill's gone now, so that's another big bonus.
He's playing somewhere else in the AHL.
So,
Branton?
If I don't hate the players, I don't hate the management. The only thing left
the fans.
Is to hate the cocky fans.
Yep.
With the Sens suck and Leafs rule and cup this year, and they've been saying that for 40 odd years now.
Just remember the last time they won the cup, it was in black and white. There were only six teams. And they never played playoff games in HD.
Leafs. Just the loudmouth fans. And it's still gonna drive me nuts.
Oh yeah. Oh, for sure. All right, that's enough on them. Enough mockery, but there'll be mockery all the time because, well, they're certainly worthy of it. With the signing of the memorandum of understanding, I was expecting a flurry. I honestly was expecting a flurry of trades and signings because there'd been all this time that you know been saved up, and it's been really much more of a whimper than a roar of what's gone on. There have been a couple of signings, like Michael Delzotto was signed in New York, and Zajac got an extension today with New Jersey. But for the most part, all the other signings of UFAs are, Matt Gilroy, enough said. They all seem to be that sort of caliber of player, nothing big going on. But I mean, there have been lots of time to sign UFAs. Say again?
Just filler guys.
Yeah, exactly. Just filler. Players, no big, and no big trades.
I think one maybe big story, only because it's 2 hours down the road, is the fact that Montreal hasn't signed PK Subban yet. And I guess he's asking for ridiculous money.
And I think it's the term.
Yeah, well, he's asking for more money than Michael Delzotto got, a lot more. And I don't know whether he's proven himself to be worthy of what he's looking for. But I mean, there are the other signings that haven't happened. I mean, Jamie Benn, number one center, not signed. And Ryan O'Reilly, not signed yet. So, I mean, there are a couple of them that aren't signed and may not be signed to start the season, and that's where things could get interesting. But I was expecting more, and I just really haven't seen it. And I don't know whether they'll... With the way that everybody's going into the regular season, not having played any exhibition games, are we going to suddenly see a flurry of trades 10 games into the season? Or 20 games? Or is it going to wait until the trade deadline in... It's now early April, isn't it?
Yeah,
I don't know. Yeah. So whether it takes that long, I don't know. I was expecting to see more, especially, I suppose it not as much as I was expecting originally because there's these, in air quotes, soft cap. You know, you can go over by up to $70 million, which is what people were expecting to spend anyway. So there's no incentive to try and suddenly get down to $64 million or no disincentive. You know, there's no penalty. So maybe that'll happen next year. I don't know. We'll see.
That's true. That's true. Now, Luongo's not moved yet.
True.
David Booth just got hurt. I think this might make my theory of him going back to Florida for a Brian Campbell type deal that might actually work out. Then maybe a double buyout in the summer. But this keeps going. I don't see Luongo making it. It's not that he's a bad player. It's a terrible contract.
Yeah, it's an albatross contract for sure.
I think they're going to have to buy him out and just bite the bullet on it.
Well, ask any, I don't know, do you know any Canucks fans? Because I keep hearing, oh, well, we're going to get this and we're going to get so much back for them. Are you one?
I don't know who's actually thinking that, if it's just the media.
I know some Canucks fans who think that. I can't understand their thinking, really. Because if I was a GM, it's like, oh, I'll take him and I'll take your top prospect and I'm going to take your first round draft pick. That's the price for me taking that contract off your hands.
He's still a good goalie.
And that's the thing, because Vancouver's got enough money. They might just... I would rather buy him out than take garbage back.
Well, true.
You're losing a big asset, but you know what? Sometimes you lose UFAs also.
And what if Schneider goes down early?
Yeah.
Eddie Lack's really good. So that's their third... Where did he play? Chicago?
Yeah, Chicago Bulls.
Team? I think he's done quite well.
Okay.
So they're confident in Eddie Lack as well. So they've got depth and goal. You may be able to always pick up maybe a Halak or I don't think they get Bernier because they're in the same conference for next year and all of that. But other guys, maybe a guy like Ben Bishop or some other type of depth guy if you absolutely need it.
Yeah. It'll be interesting, but I don't think it's going to be a quick thing.
Yep. Yeah, I seriously think he's going to get bought out.
Well,
that's recorded now, so we'll see what happens.
There were two waivers announced today for buyout, which would be Gomez and Redden. And we talked in our last episode about what is Boston going to do with Tim Thomas? Are they going to buy him out? Like, just say, you know, you don't want to play this year? Fine. We're paying you at a prorated, half-rated season. At the end of it, you're UFA. We don't even need to buy you out.
Well, they suspended him, right? So did they have to pay him?
No, that's a Yashin clause.
Yeah.
But I think now is the time to just bite the bullet, get rid of him. Just get rid of him. Even if he comes back next year, 1 year older, he's a distraction in the room. Just get rid of him now.
Exactly. And it would cost them half the money of trying to buy him out next year.
Yep.
So why not? The other name that I heard mentioned as a possible buyout just because of the Albatross contract situation, and I have to admit I don't know what his health is like right now, is Rick DiPietro, because he's got another 14 years on his contract, 13 years.
Well, he's at risk of getting hurt, because if he's hurt,
then they have to pay him regardless. Exactly.
Can't buy him out in the summer.
Which is why I was wondering.
Where is it? The Islanders. They need him to hit the floor. Wow. The payroll right now, it's a $50 million. I'm on cap geek. I don't know if I was going to work here. But I think his hit's about 4.25, 4.5. But the contract's long. They've got Nabokov now. They're happy with him. And they've always got some type of prospect. I think it's time to cut the cord there. It's Charles Wong is a very strange guy.
Yeah, that's a very weird team. Very weird team. And I mean, they're moving to a building that's even smaller than capacity wise, even smaller than Winnipeg, to say nothing of the fact that there's basically no first bowl seating at one end when they converted over to a hockey building, because it wasn't designed. It was designed to be an arena for basketball only. And when
it's
they put
really going to be weird to watch that on TV.
Yeah, the scoreboard's going to be over a blue line. It's so strange to see the floor plan for where they're going to be playing at the Barclays Center. But that's the Islanders. You kind of laugh and let it go because there's not much else you can do.
You know, that whole rule change to allow the early buyouts. They should there should be a rule that Glenn Sather gets fired, because he's the sole cause of this situation.
Both buyouts he's signed.
Yeah. Gomez, Redden. And even some of the other ones, like, didn't he sign Drury? Like,
but he managed to trade the Gomez one. And besides, we've already lost Burke. I can't lose all the comedy of GMs in the NHL. We got to keep him around. Who else am I going to make fun of? I'm sure I'll find
somebody. Well, the disasters is turning into Montreal.
Touche. Fair enough. Got a couple of new captains being named. I mean, mostly for retirements. Zetterberg in Detroit. Now Salvador, New Jersey, is because wasn't Parise the captain until he moved? New Jersey? I have to ask that. I don't remember.
I don't remember.
Okay. But Claude Giroux has been named the captain for Philadelphia because I guess they figure Chris Pronger isn't coming back. He's still suffering from concussion or concussion-like syndromes or post-concussion syndromes. Symptoms. So he's looks like he's done, but they can't buy him out. So they have to at least I don't think they can buy him out because he's injured, but Giroux's going to take over as captain. And I mean, I don't wish anybody ill.
Yeah, you do.
Brain injuries aren't funny. I would never do that, but I mean, there's a little piece of me that kind of wonders if it's a bit of karma for the number of concussions that he inflicted on other people because of the way he plays. That, you know, his career is ended by somebody doing to him exactly what he's done to other people.
You just want to get a little elbow in on him, you could say.
Yeah, kind of like that. And I don't wish him ill, but it's just one of those things you sit back and go, well, you know.
Was it the eye that got him out, though?
No.
How did he get severely hurt last year?
Wasn't it was a check in the corner, wasn't it?
Oh, I can't remember. Anyway.
Yeah. I thought his head bounced off the glass. I'm not sure. Anyway, not really my team, so not really all that big a deal. Quickly, there have been two rule changes announced that I need an explanation on one of them because I'm not really sure I understand why they're doing it. And the other one is really close to being a Whiskey Tango Foxtrot moment for me. And that's the first one. That's the AHL has announced that they're going to cease the use of the hybrid icing rule as of Thursday. They like in a press release I saw from the AHL, they said they liked the results from it. But they're going to stop using it to ease transition to the NHL for players who are going back and forth. And if that's not the lamest excuse I've ever heard.
Well, you want to follow the same rules, but this is why wasn't hybrid icing
included? It's a step backwards.
Included. Yep.
Exactly. It's a step backwards. I've been watching it in the OHL. It speeds games up.
Yeah.
It doesn't slow them down.
It's not exciting.
Why didn't the players fight about this? The ratio of the puck
isn't exciting.
Oh, horse feathers.
And how often are you beat?
Not often. And it's a lot safer. And it speeds the game up. It's safer, it speeds the game up, and there's not really a loss of excitement. That's a load of crap.
Now let's ask Curtis Foster how he thinks about that.
Yeah, pathetic. And the other one, which I need some help on trying to figure out exactly how this or why this is being done, is if the center falls on a puck during a face-off, it's a two-minute penalty. Now, is this really a problem? I ask that as an honest question.
I have never seen that happen.
I don't remember this being an issue.
Okay, thank you. That's what I was thinking. Like, I don't remember seeing this be a problem. If the two centers are battling over the puck and one of them knocks the other one over and it happens to be underneath them, well, that's a hockey play. If he trips them, well, then you'd better be blowing a two-minute penalty for tripping. So I don't understand this rule change at all. Not at all.
I guess that headshots or injuries at icing are kind of resolved now. Kind of like, what is it, the rainforests? I haven't heard anything about that in a while.
Okay. So
the ozone layer.
So we're trying to fix a problem that doesn't actually exist because we think it's going to start to exist. Okay.
Well, at least they're being proactive on something.
Yeah. Okay. You got me on that one. Well put. Well put. Quickly, there's been lots of talk. I mean, there's so many prediction panels going on at the moment, and I know we're running a little short on time here, so quickly. Any predictions that you want to throw out there? Who's going to win the Stanley Cup or the President's Trophy or who's going to be the worst team in the league? Where are the Sens going to be? Are they going to make the playoff? Who's the most improved? Who's going to be the comeback? Who's going to be in the doghouse? Or the most important question that I seem to be seeing an awful lot of in the past couple of days is this Alfie's last season?
Let's go around the horn with this one. Go ahead.
Yeah. I think it is going to be his last season, especially if the team plays well. He's looked great in practice. Looked really good. He doesn't look, I mean, he's a 40-year-old man playing out there with 20-year-olds, and he's right up there with them. He doesn't look slow. He doesn't look out of place. His hands are, he was playing keep away with a couple of guys yesterday, and, you know, his hands are as good as they ever were. But I think that having had a couple of months off, and enjoying, in a couple of interviews, he said, you know, I've really enjoyed, you know, coaching my kids. And while it's important that I really want them to remember me playing in the NHL, I also have really enjoyed the fact that I've been able to spend a lot more time with them. And I think that, especially if this team makes it into the playoffs and whether they go on a really good run in the playoffs or not, if they make it into the playoffs, I think that this could well be his last season. Unless he suddenly goes, you know what, I'm not done yet, and I'm going to, just because I want to keep playing, which he might, but I would not be at all surprised if this was his last one.
Sure. I'll just kind of go through all these, and we'll go around here. My Cup winner, I'm thinking Pittsburgh. President's Trophy, Rangers. They're just too strong defensively. Worst team in the league? I don't think Columbus has anything to stand on. It's a hard division. Rocket Richard Trophy's got to be Stamkos again. I can see the Sens maybe in a 7-8 spot, not knowing how well they'll do in the playoffs, but just a hoping. I guess most surprising Sen to me, can I go with the one that maybe has more to prove, and I'm going to go on a risk with this one, maybe say Peter Regan.
Yeah, I was thinking exactly the same thing.
Yeah, and I think Alfie may be back. That's what I'm thinking. He seems to be healthy. He doesn't want to maybe take a reduced role or that much of a reduced role going down the line. But hey, if we've got him on second or third line and penalty kill, only take him off the power play because he's playing too many minutes. I'm all right with that. I don't know how much he is with four kids at home, but there probably is some potential for having him back. Canuck?
Stanley Cup winner, who knows? That's such a crapshoot once the playoffs start. Everybody seems to be picking Pittsburgh. I don't know. Sure, but... That one's hard to guess, but I'll tell you who I think is going to be a surprising team this year is going to be the Tampa Bay Lightning. I think they had a disappointing year last year. They are getting goals scored. I'm going to probably guess that Le Cavalier gets the Rocket Richard Trophy for the most goals. But they did have good goaltending, and they made that trade with Nashville to get their
Anders Lindback. He's a good player. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think they're going to be, I think they're going to raise some eyebrows on the East. So I think that means by virtue of just the fact of the teams that you have, that means Ottawa is fighting to get into the playoffs again in that kind of 6-7-8 spot. And that doesn't mean they won't have a good season or not. That just means that's kind of probably where the chips are going to fall. But we shall see. I think this probably is Alfredson's last season. I mean, the guy's one hit away from getting injured again, you know, some sort of concussion issue, and that's going to be it. So I think this is probably it. I think this is the right kind of year for it to be it, have a shortened season. So, you never know till they drop the puck. One of the questions you asked was the worst team. I think I'm going to have to go with Columbus again because they were the worst team before and they got rid of their star player and they didn't get that much back. So
Yeah, they got fleeced on that one for sure.
Usually the teams that don't do well or that kind of drop off are the teams that have some locker room issues or have some sort of bad press going on. We saw this here in Ottawa. Excuse me. So I'm thinking... Toronto's got some negative vibes going on right now. Now, you know, stream together a few wins and that can change pretty quickly. But right now it's pretty negative. Sorry, Montreal, but it sounds pretty negative there right now. And those are the kind of things that I think are going to keep a team down. Vancouver, too.
I was going to say Calgary.
Calgary, yeah.
I think Calgary could be right at the bottom of the entire league. But the team that I think is going to surprise me the most is St. Louis. I think Ken Hitchcock is actually going to take that team. And I mean, they went on a heck of a run at one point last season. And with a shortened season, I think he might be able to pull them together and really turn that team around. I mean, he started it last year, but they had such a horrible start that it was difficult for them to get anywhere.
Good blue chip team.
Yep.
Hard to argue.
Hardworking. Now, Ken Hitchcock kind of team, right? Hardworking, hard-nosed, maybe not the most talented team in the world, but they get, you know, 100% out of every guy every night. And I think they might be the team that surprises everybody. So lots to see. Who knows where it's going to go? We got the schedule starts against the Jets, which I mentioned earlier, but the home opener is against the Panthers, and tickets are going well. They're now over 17,000 tickets sold, so
yeah.
Lots to go on.
It's a good promotion there with 14 and under get in free.
Is that's there good. An issue, that's, Papa?
Yeah. And I mean, the first 10 games, they've got a lot of promos going on, whether it's, you know, free for kids 14 and under, or, you know, there's a $24.95 for a ticket and a hot dog and a drink, or, you know, dollar popcorn, whoop-de-doo. But they've done, for the first 10 games, there's a lot of offers like that. And I mean, against some pretty, you know, some pretty interesting teams to go and see, like, I mean, not the greatest, it's not going to be against the Habs or against the Leafs, but it's going to be against teams that you'd still want to see, like against Pittsburgh. 25 tickets starting at $24.75 plus fees for, you know, ticket, a hot dog, and a drink. Not bad. I think they're really pulling out some good offers to get people back in the building. And I hope it works. It won't be me.
All right. Markle, don't forget 50% off merchandise.
Oh, that's right. Time to go out and buy your swag for sure.
So now, Canuck, when are you back again? It's 20.
So, yeah, I'm heading to Florida tomorrow. And I'm back the following Saturday. So I'll be watching these first few games, you know, remotely. Having said that, as soon as the home opener is finished against Florida, the Senators are traveling to Florida to play the Panthers and the Lightning. And I'm going to be at the Lightning game next Friday.
That's awesome.
Excellent. So, we'll watch for the guy in the Craig Anderson jersey in the stands.
Yeah, actually, a good chance you could see me. I'm going to be about 10 rows back. I'm not going to say right behind the Senators bench. One, you're looking at your TV, probably one to the right, about 10 rows back. And I'll definitely be wearing the Anderson Heritage jersey. And we'll see if you can cause a ruckus down there.
Just make sure you stand up and cheer when they score, and the camera will go immediately to you.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, hey,
I guess,
guys,
for the next recording time, we've got the Jets this Saturday. home opener, as you mentioned, on Monday, then the Canuck trip down to Florida. So you got Florida again on Thursday, Tampa on Friday, and then a Sunday mid-afternoon game against Pittsburgh, and then we'll probably record with that point. So we're going to have about 5 games to recap. Let's see how well we do with that.
Yeah, we might be able to sneak in one there too. Well, while we're on the topic, what's your prediction? Home opener, or sorry, game one in Winnipeg.
Oh, I think they'll beat the Canucks.
They're not playing the Canucks.
Sorry, Canucks. What am I on today? I think they'll beat the Jets. The Jets, I don't think, are a very good team. I don't think they're going to be all that improved from last year. And they certainly have a couple of players with some very big question marks next to them, like Kane and Byfuglien. So
yep.
I'm pretty sure they'll win that game.
My guess is going to be something like a 6-4. 5-4 kind of win. It's going to be a little sloppy first game in. Oh,
4 goals against. Interesting. Yeah.
I think a lot of the first 5 games for every team in this league are going to be like that. I don't think we're going to see some low scoring games for a little while because a lot of the goalies just haven't played.
Well, that's interesting. I think home opener against the Jets, I'm going to go a little bit different with you guys. Maybe 3-1 Ottawa.
Home openers against Panthers.
Yeah, then Panthers.
See, you've been listening to me too much. You're getting everything confused.
I'm all screwed up. Well, that's because I didn't answer that one yet. You're cutting me off again. Yeah, Panthers, I'm going to go 4-2 Sens there. You've got to get the home crowd. I think with a lot of young kids there, it's going to be pretty loud too. So.
Oh, yeah.
So we're projecting a 2-0 start to the season. I like it.
That'd be nice. I wouldn't mind
it at
all.
Nice to build on.
We'll see. Are we doing these goal predictions because Russell got kicked out of the citizen panel there?
I think we should.
Yeah.
I think we should talk to James Gordon and make him force Russell to come back for them.
Yeah. Sure.
Man, you want to talk about the hockey pool quickly?
Sure. Yeah, Spaceman's put that up on the forum, so he's going to be covering that. We're doing the draft. I believe it's going to be on Friday night, but you can do an auto draft as well. So if you're not available for Friday at 6, feel free to enter in. I don't think there's a cost to it. excuse me. And with that, there's probably going to be – there's room for 20 teams, so I'll be the first 20 in. Feel free to post on the forum if you're interested. And also feel free to email me at pan@sendscallups.com, P-A-N, of course. And we will enter you in. And, yeah, Spaceman's put up all the information on the forums there. So it'll be the first 20, I think, we'll make the teams there. So just send me a quick email with your team name, and we'll forward that through and get you guys all registered up. So if you're able to make it, I know there's people all over the world with this, and there's Labru and other guys like that. So 6 o'clock on Friday is probably something at 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. on a Saturday for you. So we'll definitely get it done that way. Something else, now that hockey's back and we're actually going to have hockey to talk about, we had that contest that Gabrielle won. So now I'm going to be announcing our next contest. So last time we did, what's your most disappointing Sens moment? Now we'll go with, what is your favorite Sens moment? So for that, feel free to either email us, post that up into the forums or also on Twitter. So I'll put it in. If you're not following, just please follow, and you'll have to retweet to count this time. So we will send that out. So I guess just going around the horn with us, my favorite Sens moment, and I think this probably changed today with meeting Tugger. I would say when the Sens clinched the playoff berth the first time on the last game of the season. And just watching him, and he was even the backup at that point to Damian Rhodes, win that game, and I remember him jumping in the air with Steve Duchene and Wade Redden in his arms at the end of that very tight game.
Yeah.
It was an extremely exciting series against Buffalo, which actually ended with my most disappointing moment in the floppy glove. How about you guys?
Quickly off the top of my head, I'm going to go, maybe it's an easy one, but I'm going to say Alfredsson scoring the goal which sent them to the Stanley Cup Finals. And not just because of the significance of that too, but I was watching the game with some friends in Winchester and then driving back, you know, to my home. Just the atmosphere, the people honking their horns, you know, the Sens flags and people, like weird people out in the street with their, whatever you call those things, horns, you know, blowing them. And just, it was just neat. That was a good moment.
Yeah, I was actually going to choose that one, but since you did, I'm going to go a little off the board. And my favorite Senators moment was the day after they lost the Stanley Cup final. And I was one of the 15,000 or so people out at McDonnell Cartier Airport when their charter landed, and we were lining the sides of the road and just cheering for the fact that, you know what, we're still really, really proud of you for what you guys did this year. I mean, you didn't win. Okay, you didn't win. But, I mean, when was the last time a losing team got that many people out to see them when they came back to town? And it was quite an amazing moment, actually, because as the players were driving by, you could see the look on their face was just sort of a, what the hell? We lost. Did you guys miss the memo? But it was also a really proud moment for me just as a Senators fan to have that many other Senators fans be so proud of the team that even if they didn't win it, it was, we were still proud of them. It was a great moment. It was a truly, truly cool moment.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody, email us or tweet us and let us know what the contest is. Pan, what's the running time of this contest?
Email the show.
What's the runtime on this contest? Is it going to be a few days or a week or what? Just so people know how quickly they have to get this in.
Yeah, I've got to take care of this 50% discount. I can tell you what the prize is. Now, we're not going to screw around this time. What we'll do is whoever wins, the deadline's going to be Sunday at noon. And just let me know what the size and the type of Sens jersey that you want. I'm not putting a name on it. Come on now. We don't have a donate button on our site. If you want the red home jersey or the white one, the heritage one, if you absolutely want the SNES one, just let me know and I'll reach out to the winner. So I'm going to have to get the information back from the winner quite quickly on that. We'll reach out to you in the best way possible. So that's got to be done Sunday at noon Eastern.
So Sunday, January 20th.
Yep. So just follow the either Twitter or the forums for more information on that.
Cool. All right. Folks, get thinking and get sending it, whether it's via email or whether it's via Twitter. Get in. We'll pick the best one afternoon Sunday. Guys, anything else? I think we've gone on long enough tonight. But anything else you want to mention quickly before we go?
Go, Sens, go.
Talk about games soon.
Exactly.
Yeah. We're going to have to be a lot more organized about that. Just before we go, was talking to Shredder a week or two ago and still looking for new podcasts to be distributed on this network. Step up, make your thoughts known, whether it's on the NHL, the OHL, the Western Hockey League, the AHL, the out-of-town perspective, like what it's like to be a fan in Toronto. You don't have to do anything as long as what we do every night or every time we record it, but really looking for other people to start putting content onto this network, because I really look forward to listening to somebody else's voice other than mine.
Consisting, so, please start that bacon podcast.
Yeah, even a podcast on bacon, I'd listen to that at least once. So whatever it is you want, if you've got an idea, don't be daunted by, oh, well, I don't know how to do this or I don't know what to say. Well, you've listened to us for a couple of episodes now, so surely you can do the same sort of thing.
And if you don't have the tech and all of that stuff, feel free to let us know. Send us an email and we'll get you on, just like we did for Ben today or some of the other guys that we've had previously too.
Exactly. So you can email us at podcast@sensunderground.com. Whether you have questions about how to put the podcast together or putting in your submissions for the contest. You can follow us on Twitter. We're @SensCallUps. And make sure you visit the forums at sensunderground.com. Join the conversation. They've certainly been lighting up in the past week to 10 days since the lockout was over, and I'm sure the game threads and other threads are going to be picking up more and more once the hockey season actually starts. Till the next time we get together, which will be probably in a week to 10 days, thanks for listening. We'll talk to you soon. Ciao.
Good night.
Good night.